all-new Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
And we're both here. Jimmy made it into work today. You recovered from your St. Patrick's Day.
If you called how I'm feeling right now, recover.
It's not a recovery. This is one of those weekends. It's going to take a few days, probably up until next weekend, like till Friday. Then you'll start to feel like your brain is working again. We'll get into your St. Patrick's Day adventures. Escapades later in the show. You got a little slideshow you'll post and everything. So for me, mine was pretty quiet weekend. We went for one beer on St. Patrick's Day and then spent some time moving, packing stuff, right? We're moving out of the city. And I had a moment yesterday when I was packing up some things that were in the basement. And I was packing a box just full of like random knickknacks from the basement.
Okay.
And I grabbed my Big Lebowski poster. And I had a moment of, do I really need to move my Big Lebowski poster again? At what point do I give this up? Like, I'm mid-30s, few kids. It's not hung up anyways because it doesn't match the decor. I don't get to slap a Big Lebowski poster up around the house. I had a moment of like, is it time to let this thing go? And then I thought, I wonder what things Jimmy has had to let go. Have you had to let anything go as a single man? Have you had a moment where you're packing up your place and then you're like, do I really need 15 lightsabers?
I don't know. Because I know I have, like, this is going to surprise you, but I have a bunch of stuff like from when I was younger and stuff in boxes
in my closet
that I don't even know what I have in there.
I think it's I don't know if women go through this or not. Maybe they do, but I think it's a man thing. When you go from like being a bachelor and having, you know, posters that aren't in frames up around your place and that's your decor, and then you like get married and you have actual artwork and stuff. I was still holding on to that Big Lebowski poster with the hope that maybe I'd find a wall for it somewhere. But I had a moment yesterday where I was like, I think it's time to let this thing go.
I still have the shot glass from the very first shot I had at Allegiant. I ended up stealing the shot glass.
You hold on to that forever. But yeah, I thought there was an interesting question. What is something that you finally decided it was time to just to let go of? Maybe you donated it so some other swinging bachelor could hang it up in their apartment. 780-989-0957. The Big Lebowski poster, by the way, that I was considering getting rid of, I did not get rid of. I did pack it up in a box in the end. But there was a lot of thought about it and discussion in my head about whether or not I was going to keep it. And I did put it in a box for the new house. And Jerry said the garage is a great place for your posters. And yeah, I didn't have a garage at our old house. New house, there is a garage. So maybe that's where I'll hang it up. He says he has a full life-size cutout of The Mask and Bones McCoy from the original Star Trek. And he said the garage is where they live. So maybe that's awesome. Maybe that's where the Big Lebowski will be.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
Grant Johnson and James P. White. But we call them Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
This is kind of crazy, Jimmy. I was just reading about new research out there about the early signs of dementia and how to stop it. So they did this like worldwide study about dementia. They used artificial intelligence to analyze people, and this is what it found. Typically, you would think like, oh, an early sign of dementia is forgetting things, forgetting words. They said, yeah, that could be one, but that kind of happens to everyone. One of the big signs of early dementia is actually when your speech slows down. That's pretty crazy, hey?
Wow, really?
Yeah, so if you have slowed down speech, that's apparently a big sign. How do you feel about that?
Then you guys are giving me a complex because you're always slowing me down.
You might want to see a doctor.
The all-new Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
And this is a segment we call Jimmy at the Movies. This year, he's reviewing a movie from every year of his life as we work towards his 50th birthday, which is all the way in November. And this week, we were at 1985, right?
Yes.
What movie did you review?
The Breakfast Club.
Eat my shorts.
You just bought yourself another Saturday, mister.
Oh, crushed.
I love that movie.
I it is so good. It's like it's kind of slow to start with, but then when they start to, you know, get to know each other and everything, it's such a good movie. And, you know, you watch the movies like this now, and in school, you don't have that where people actually talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know,
it reminded me of, because you may not know this about me, but I did spend some time in detention when I was in school, Jimmy.
I would not expect that from you at all.
And it reminded me of when I first got my first detention, going there, and there was like a guy in there who was clearly in there all the time. And he kind of showed me the ropes. Like, he taught me to not be afraid of detention. And shout out to Todd Griffith. And so he showed me the ropes of detention. He was in there. And then eventually I got to do that for the younger generation as well. You know, I got to...
just passing it on.
Nothing to be afraid of. Now they don't even do detention anymore.
No.
Right? So it's kind of like a lost thing. But Breakfast Club is one of those... if I'm scrolling through and I see it on TV, I stop and watch it. Like, yeah.
You always. Know, and... you know, one thing that we've been doing, like, because we've been going through the years watching movies, this one definitely stands up. There's, you know, obviously with the older movies, there's language that we don't use anymore. You know,
all sorts of things, yeah,
for all kinds of reasons, but definitely stands up. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
The teacher was a total dick.
Yeah, he's actually a terrible human being as well.
Yes.
I think he's in jail.
Oh, the actor?
The guy that played the principal. He's not a good man, but
it was great
in that movie. Yeah.
And yeah.
So
5 out of 5.
5 buttery cobs of Tabor corn out of 5 for The Breakfast Club. Go back and watch it if it's been a while. Later in the show today, we'll be choosing a movie from 1986.
The all-new Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
I've never thought that I could be someone that could work from home. I think I know myself a little too well.
Yeah.
I know that I'm very good at putting off paperwork for video games. Like, I've even worked jobs in the past when I was younger where it was kind of a set your own schedule, you're your own boss. And I'll just say, I run a pretty loose ship when it comes to that.
You know what? I'm the same way. Oh, yeah. I can just do it later. I'll do it later.
But I have been jealous of friends of mine that work from home because they're never actually home. One of my best friends works from home. Like, his company doesn't even have an office in Canada. And he'll be in Mexico working. He was just in Ireland working. And he'll take his computer and that's all he needs. So that does make me jealous. And this is an interesting idea. Virgin Voyages. Perfect for you, Jimmy. They are doing a work-from-home cruise. So it's a whole cruise, a month long, and everyone on the boat will be working as they sail around Europe. They promise to have the fastest internet possible. And yeah, it's just 4 people that work from home to get on a cruise ship and sail around the Mediterranean and see some things while you're working from home. And I guess, in theory, you could be working and paying for the cruise to offset the costs, right? So they promise to have the fastest internet possible on any boat. And there's a couple other cruise lines doing this.
Because it's just a smart information idea. To management, and, you know, that could be...
We could do our show.
We could do our show from a boat.
We've worked from resorts in Jamaica and Antigua. We could do a cruise ship.
You had me at work from a boat.
I would do no work on that boat, and I would be okay with it.
The Grant Report, brought to you by iFurniture. Better, cheaper, smarter. Visit iFurniture.ca. Now, Grant Judson.
This is pretty wild. They released a major study, worldwide study, and have found that heart disease is no longer the leading cause of ill health worldwide. So it's no longer heart disease. It's now neurological conditions, strokes, migraines, and dementia. More than 3.4 billion people, but 43% of the population of the world experienced a neurological condition last year. Whether it's a stroke or they got drunk and fell down and broke their shunt, that could be considered that. That'd be weird if that happened, but it happens apparently. Hey, Jimmy. Part of the, yeah, you know, I'm not a hypochondriac at all. I'm not that guy that thinks I've got every sickness and every illness. I didn't think I had COVID 15 times. But when I read studies like this, I don't know about you, but you hear neurological conditions are the number one cause of bad health in the world. I immediately start to like, you guys smell burnt toast? Is my vision fuzzy right now? Why does my head hurt so bad?
Thanks for helping us look better by association.
Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
First of all, we need to apologize again.
Yes.
For Jimmy's sportscast that is full of mistakes.
No, just one. The Kraken lost.
Jimmy is suffering from what we like to call a violent hangover still 2 days later. You're almost 50 now, so those hangovers, they don't just disappear like by noon anymore. Like back in the day, you know, it would have been noon yesterday and you would have been bouncing around. Hey, you could tell you're pretty foggy today.
But also, my sinuses are a little mess today for some reason.
Can I tell you, I also like had a sympathy hang, not sympathy, because I have no sympathy for you, but I felt hungover yesterday when I would think about you. Like when I was like thinking about you in your apartment, the Dennis sadness.
Oh, I was rough yesterday.
Yeah, and I would start to feel the symptoms, and I was like, shake it off. What are we doing here? So it was a rough day yesterday, but a fun weekend for you, St. Patrick's Day?
Yes, I may have had a few shots of Irish whiskey.
But I could never tell. Yeah, you seem right.
Chipper, yeah.
Yeah, no, you seem all right. You went to a bunch of different bars on Sunday, got paid to go make appearances. Peter the Leprechaun.
I started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and went till the bars kicked me out.
You don't remember when you went home, do you?
I have no clue.
If you have pictures from Jimmy on St. Patrick's Day, if you were at one of the brew houses or Kelly's Pub, please text them to us at 780-989-0957. We want to see them. You did post up some pictures that you took yourself while you were still able
I did a little slideshow. It's on the Cruise website, 957cruisefm.ca.
Was it a surprise for you watching it?
Some of the pictures, I'm like, huh. I was, because remember at the brew house, the ice house?
Yeah.
Where they have that fridge that you...
Yeah, the ice fridge.
The ice fridge.
You go in there and you take like a shot of really, really cold vodka.
Yeah, but it's just sitting on that ice chair. I don't remember doing that, but there's about three pictures of me doing it.
It's always nice that you can take photos and relive your night and retrace your steps.
Eh? Yes.
You didn't lose anything this year, though.
No.
Didn't lose a wallet or keys or, or anything? No. All right, so it was a success then.
It was a success.
All right, if you want to go relive Jimmy's night, feel hungover just looking at his photos, it's all up at 957cruisefm.ca.
This is the all-new Cruise Mornings. Okay, with Grant and Jimmy.
See, yesterday, Jimmy, when you were gone, you were at home violently hungover, clinging to life. I was talking about Bruno Mars and how he allegedly owes a lot of money to MGM. Like, the story that came out was that he owes $50 million in gambling debts to MGM. And he's doing residency there. So after taxes, they pay him $60 million. And then he owes them $50 million. So he's kind of working to pay his debts. And I'm sure he's still gambling. But the update today is that MGM put out a news release calling the story completely false. They say Bruno owes them no money. And they have a good working relationship going. Of course they're going to say that, though, don't you think? Like, because if they admit that, yes, this guy owes us $50 million, it kind of makes them look bad. Because if you're going to see Bruno Mars in Las Vegas, you don't want to go to the show thinking he's being forced to dance and sing for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It kind of ruins the experience.
We own his soul.
Yeah. Like, it's got a very Vegas Elvis feeling, if that's the case, where he's just there paying off the Colonel's gambling debts. So I understand why they would put out a thing being like, this story is false. He owes us no money at all. Nothing. Because nobody's going to go see Bruno Mars if he's up there chained to the stage and someone's standing behind him, buzzing him, zapping him if he doesn't dance hard enough.
It kind of reminds me, do you remember that... the Secret Service, the second one. There was that, what, and the Elton John was stuck on this island and he had to sing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know the Secret Service movies?
Kingsman?
Kingsman, yes.
Okay.
The second one.
I was like, I have never heard of Secret Service. Are you talking about The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner? No. Yeah, no, that's what it, totally. It's like Bruno, they own Bruno's soul, and he will dance and sing until the end of time. Exactly. There'd be a few people that want to go see that, but I'm not sure it appeals to everyone.
Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
And Jimmy is here today, still shaking off that hangover. But he is here, and we were hanging out on the weekend, and something came up. My wife was there, and something was mentioned that when you met her years ago, you offended her. You made fun of her appearance, and you were not very nice.
No, To a little bit of a backstory, I guess. I guess when I'm drinking, I'm not a big fan of nose rings.
Yeah, and she has a nose ring, and Jimmy was going off about how he'd never date her. Meanwhile, he's got an earring.
I've got an earring.
And
I've
tattoos.
I've got a tattoo.
He's going off about he doesn't like tattoos and he doesn't like piercings. So she doesn't care anymore.
But every time that we get together and I've been drinking, I always apologize because I actually legit feel like a total jerk.
So as soon as you get some booze in you, you start apologizing for it. And,
yes.
Sorry, got a piece of burger stuck in my throat now. What came up was that you need to get over it, Jimmy. And the way to do that is for you to write a poem. Because everyone else that you offend gets poems.
Yes.
My wife was like, I have never gotten a poem from Jimmy. Everyone else gets poems. I've never gotten one. So you went home. And what did you do?
And I wrote this poem.
Okay.
So here we go.
And then she said, she did tell me, we were going to phone her to read this poem to her, but she's out at the bus stop with the kids right now, and it's just not good timing. So she did want me to tell you, though, now that you wrote this poem, you can never mention it again.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Let's hear it.
When we first met, nice I was not. I really did not give you a fair shot. Your nose ring I did not like. My words to my conscience did strike. I am sorry for what I've done. My regrets cannot be undone. Michaela, I hope you can forgive me. If asked, I would take a knee. It is my job as a friend to this message I must send. When I get drunk, I always say sorry. It might be nicer to buy you a Ferrari.
Very nice.
I always say not to bully one another. My sorrow for what I've done, I cannot cover. To judge, I shall do not. I wish I could start a day anew. That did not rhyme at all. I will try to be a better man. I hope we can start again. I hope you can forgive me. You shall. Your husband is my pal. Thank you for hearing my words. My actions were for the birds. That's my poem.
Thank you, Jimmy. So appreciate that.
Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, looks like there's a new Bond.
Yes.
James Bond. Let's hear yours. Come on. Bond.
What's that?
Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond. Yeah. No. I can't do that.
If you drank Pepsi instead of martinis.
Yes. So, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, they say that he's going to be signing a contract this week for the new...
So, Aaron Taylor-Johnson is not a well-known name. I it sounded familiar, but I was like, I don't really know who that is. So, I looked him up, and I thought, he was the kid in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
That movie with Nicolas Cage, the superhero movie.
But
he was like a teenager in that.
Yeah. He was in a couple of the...
Bullet Train he was in.
A couple of the Avenger movies. He was in Age of Ultron.
Of course, you can tie him into a nerd movie.
He was Pietro Maximoff, also known as Quicksilver.
Pietro Maximoff. Okay.
Pietro.
Well-known superhero. Pietro. Exactly. So he was in he's been in a few things. He's younger. He's 33. And they're saying he's been offered the job as James Bond. If he signs a deal, it's his. What I do like about this is that it is a younger Bond. Because the thing about, like, the Daniel Craig and some of the Bonds is it's getting tiring that they're always, like, every movie is, like, he's retired, but he's going to give it all up. But no, he's coming back for one more mission.
Pierce Brosnan was
it was like that. Bond. Daniel Craig is like that. So this will be hopefully a younger version of Bond. He's married to a famous director, to Sam Taylor Johnson is her name. She's quite a bit older than him. He's 33. She's almost 60. She's done some 50 Shades of Grey movies and a bunch of stuff. But yeah, it looks like Aaron Taylor Johnson. Could be my cousin.
Could be.
I'm related to a Bond.
The all-new Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
So for Jimmy at the Movies this year, we are going through 50 years of Jimmy. Every week he watches a different movie from a year of his life. This past weekend was Breakfast Club from 1985. He gave it 5 buttery cobs of Tabor corn out of 5. This week, it'll be 1986.
Yes.
And so we're looking for movies from 1986. Platoon did come in, and that was the Oscar winner for Best Picture. But you've had to watch it for Jimmy at the Movies in the past.
Yes. Right?
So I don't think
the only rule we really have this time around is just as long as it hasn't been on Jimmy in the Movies.
Yeah. Before. So even if you had seen it like as a child or whatever, you can rewatch it. But no, we'll pass on Platoon. Also, the Oscar nominees were, The Color of Money. Paul Newman won for Best Actor in that. That was a sports one, directed by Martin Scorsese, right? So,
yeah.
Color of Money is a good one.
Oh, The Fly came in.
Hannah and Her Sisters.
Hannah.
Michael Caine won Best Supporting Actor for Hannah and Her Sisters.
Okay, come on. You guys made me watch Little Women. Anyone that's Hannah and Her Sisters, that kind of rates up there with the sister of Sisterhood
like
of Traveling
Michael
Pants.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine's cool. He's got a good accent. Labyrinth. It's 1986.
Yeah, that's the weird one with what's it?
That is a weird
David
movie.
Bowie.
Yep. Labyrinth could be on there. The Three Amigos came out in 1986. Top Gun came out in 1986.
That's what I've done for Jimmy at the Movies because we did that just before we went.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
You got what?
I got the movie. I know what we're doing.
Okay.
Howard the Duck.
Oh.
It came out in 1986. It was George Lucas's big follow-up to Star Wars.
And they
were so happy with him. They gave him, you know what? Star Wars is amazing, George Lucas. You could do anything you want. What are you going to do next? And he did Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck is a Marvel character, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to.
Oh, darn.
Done. I'm sorry to everyone that texted in. It's Howard the Duck. He'll have the review Monday morning.
Yeah.